Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
great things. Not by sight, but by faith. God is about to do some great things, amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm not looking at the storm, but my eyes are on Jesus. And I want to tell you, how many of us are looking at the storm of life? And we're missing the greatest blessing that we could ever have. And that's Jesus is with us, and we thank God for that. Thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you being here. We just thank God for being faithful. How many know that God's coming back for people that are faithful?
Yes.
Faithful. He's not looking to come back for those that think they're faithful, but for those who are actually faithful. Amen. We thank God today. We did a funeral service for one of somebody's clients. I don't know if it was for one of those clients. Amen. It wasn't a great service, but some of the people said, well, we want to come to church. So it's an important thing, you know. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked them today. And the question is, how many of us are taking God for granted? Amen. How many of us are taking God for granted? Amen. We know we owe every day we wake up. We wake up because of who? God. Every day we make it through and we have life, health, and strength, we owe it to God. But what are we doing to show God we're grateful for what He is doing? Amen. And I don't know how many of y'all remember Max? I know Irene remember Max. Amen. Remember Max Father? He used to say one of the problems that he found with so many people, especially in church, he was Jewish and he was a millionaire. He said the problem that he found with people, especially in church, is that the church people are penny wise and dollar foolish. Penny wise and dollar foolish. In other words, we give a lot of attention to that that's not important, and we neglect that it is important. We give a lot of attention to that that's not important, we neglect that is important. We worry about everything else and neglect our souls. Amen. So we don't want to be penny wise and dollar foolish, but we want to show God that we are grateful. How many are grateful? I said, how many are really grateful for all that God has done? Amen. Every morning we wake up, we should thank Him. Like Paul wrote, Luke wrote in Acts the 17th chapter, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. That sounds like without God we can't do anything. Amen. So we just thank God for that. We're going to go back to our notes. I just want to highlight a couple of things before we get back to the deep part. I want to go over once again Romans. Just as a small summary, Romans 13 chapter, verse 11. How many in the church are asleep? And you know, we hear these messages, but I'm not sure if they're really impacting our souls. I know they're reaching our minds, but how many other messages are impacting our souls? Because if the message impacts our soul, there should be a change. Amen. We should have a change. Whatever we did yesterday, we should do it today. The Bible said, the path of the just as a shining light is supposed to shine what? More and more to the perfect day. If we access our own spirituality, our own personal walk with God, the question that we have to address is this. Is our light shining more or is it shining less? Right? It's supposed to shine what? More and more to the perfect day. But Romans 13:11 said, and that knowing the time, how many of us know what time it is? We know what time it is, amen. We know the Lord can come back at any moment. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And remember we said the Greek word for wake is kigero, and this means collecting your spiritual faculties. It's not being inactive, it's not being in the spiritual stupor, but it's being alert. And the word for sleep is the Greek word hypnos, which is a spiritual stupor, spiritual inactivity, spiritual lethargy. And hypnos is always where we get our word hypnotized and hypnosis from. And there's also the Greek god of mythology is the god of sleep. So we don't want to be asleep. With all the events that are taking place, we're failing to realize the signs of the time. Amen. There's so much happening. Amen. So with that in mind, now let us go to our page 6, all right? Philosophy is on page 13. We went over the first two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3 last week, and we ended with unholy. These are signs of the times that we're living in. And as I said last week, we read these words, but many times I'm not sure if we have the actual meaning of what God is trying to tell us. That's why I took the time to try to give some clarity to this, all right? So verse 3 reads, if ever there was a time, today is the time, without natural affections, amen, with truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despised for those that are, how can you get upset for somebody's doing good, amen? But without natural affections, we're going to go there. Before we go to that, my wife was telling me a story about a 10-year-old, I guess, was babysitting a baby. Dropped the baby, and the baby started crying. And we talk about losing natural affections. We're not just talking about love. We're talking about a caring spirit. The baby started crying, so the 10-year-old didn't know what to do, so the 10-year-old stomped the baby to death. True story. To stop it from crying. That's losing your natural affection. And that, first of all, as a 10-year-old, even know how to do something that bad. Right? We're exposed to so much, and as parents, we know that the devil is trying to lull our children into a spiritual stupor, into spiritual confusion. As parents, we should be awake. Amen. We should instill something in our children. All right? So without natural affections, the Greek word for this is astorgos. It's a combination of a negative particle A, which we know A means not, and from the word stego. This is not self-sacrificial love. This is a lack of basic affection toward family and friends. Right? Lack of affection toward family and friends. It's so evident today when you watch family situations. There's so much dysfunction in families because the natural affection is no longer there. Amen. Relatives and people can tell each other off at the drop of a bucket, and it don't mean anything. You keep moving like everything is all right, and God is pleased with that. All right, so the lack of affection towards family and friend, Paul is describing the person who doesn't care about even those closest to him. Don't attempt to spiritualize this word. It's not about the unsaved. It's about the sinful condition of men and women who show no affection for their family. And who's Paul writing to?
Church.
So one of the signs of these last days is the natural affection is not even there in church. Amen. Husbands should adore their wives. They should be the queen of their lives. Wives should adore their husband. They should be the kings of their lives. Parents should adore and love their children. Amen. But it's not like it used to be. That natural affection just isn't there. Why? Because without being aware of it, we've been lulled slowly into a stupor. Amen. So we can see why I love them going through something. But you deserve that? Not my problem. That's not God. Can we say that's not God? I'm not telling you to tell somebody else, tell yourself. That's not God. Amen? It's not about caring for what should be the most natural loving relationship. Families are fragmented. Is that true? Families are fragmented. Children and parents disown each other. Now, I don't watch the stuff on TV, you know, but I've seen walking by TVs because I don't let that stuff into my spirit. But on TV, I don't know if it's just to sell the show for popularity. Parents just divorcing children. Children divorcing parents. What kind of stuff is that? Amen. They have shows about that. I don't know if any of them have seen that. Right? Are they divorcing their parents or disowning or doing something? Parents and children. Parents taking children to court for money. Children taking parents to court for money. Natural affection, yes, it's landlord.
Last week on
the news. Wait, they can't hear you.
Last week on one of the news programs.
Yes.
I saw there was this 15-year-old boy who strangled and then burned his mother alive.
Did what?
He strangled and then burned his mother alive.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Bad
grace.
Bad
grace.
That's no natural affection. Strangled and then burned his mother.
Yes.
These are the times that we're living in. But the thing is, we know it's happening in the world, but guess what? It's happening in a very clever way in the church.
Yes.
The same kind of spirit is happening in the church. We're not going to those means, but the love, the affection, the caring that we used to have one for another is not there. Parents would give their life to protect their children. Now when something would happen, parents would leave their children. That's not God. Somebody else had to end up. Yes.
Yeah. On that note there, last week there was an 11-year-old boy being raised by his grandparents. He was pouting because they wanted him to clean up the room. And he went and took a shot at his grandmother and grandfather was sitting on the couch. He walked behind and shot his grandmother in the head. Then he turned the gun on himself and killed himself.
A shotgun?
Shotgun.
Oh. Wow. That's natural affection. But now, the alarm should be this. Paul is not writing to the world. He's writing to what? These are signs of the last time, days, right? Perilous times shall come. Natural affection in church. Now, we have to assess ourselves. We say, yeah, well, I'm practicing trust, tough love. The toughest love that we ever practiced was Jesus. Jesus is the toughest love that was ever practiced, and guess what? Jesus, through his tough love, still showed compassion. So we can show tough love, but in tough love, we still have compassion. Amen? A large percentage of the population has no connection with biological fathers at all. As the interior affection of the family fails, so does the church, community, and society. Because the church is only be as strong as its family and the relationships in the family. Amen. And you know what? If you ever witness to someone and you tell them all that God can do, and you tell them how God made ways out of no way, and then you look at your own situation and say, I need to apply that to myself. Honestly. If you're honest. Amen. You said that I need to apply to myself. Romans 1:31-32 says, and this is the reference scripture, a supporting scripture, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing, now we're talking about who? Knowing the judgment of God. We write to who? The church. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They don't guess, but they what? No. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. That's, we talk about natural affection. Now these are the signs of the time. And as we go through this, because we want to wake out of sleep, don't allow yourself to be in a spiritual stupor and think this applies to someone else if it applies to you. We're making our own personal assessment because the Bible said, if we would examine ourselves, the word for examine means to thoroughly look at. Thoroughly study. Thoroughly see what am I. If we would examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not. Right? Truth breakers. The Greek word for truth breakers is aspandos, means unreconcilable and implacable. Espondo is a negative of spindle, a word that means to pour yourself out for a cause or for others. So when you're a truth breaker, yes, you did that to me 20 years ago, but I don't want to reconcile. When you're a truth breaker, when someone has done something, you're not supposed to bring someone else's past up. Amen. That's implacable. That is unreconciliation. It is a word about devotion. From Paul's perspective, someone described as spindle is a person ready to sacrifice himself on the behalf of the goal. We might think of irreconcilable as someone who will not enter into this agreement. That is, someone who brings But Paul sees asbundos as someone who refuses to enter into a covenant bond. In the last days, men will see themselves as the center of their private universe. Y'all ever meet people like that? No, I'm not here. We all are. You ever see somebody that's so self-centered? Everything in the world revolves about them. Amen. You make a statement, you say, yep, that's about me, right? Everything in the universe revolves around them. That's espondos. They will pour themselves out for others. They will consider what is in it for them before they make any we ain't talking about the beer either. Y'all are gone. All right. But that's fine though. So they won't make a commitment for others. And when you don't commit to others, you reject God, because God says we're supposed to care for the things that are for others, right? Let every man esteem others better than that's God's word. Now the world has told us differently. You got to take care of number one. Well, that's not God. Can we say that's not God? Amen. Romans 1:31-32 says, we just read it earlier about truth breakers, all right? So false accusers is diabolos. That word is simple. Diabolos, what English word we get from that?
Diabolos.
You know, when you start making the connection, it's easy. So diabolos is diabolical. This is false accusers. You're diabolical. Amen. From 12:25, they evolve to slander, accuse, defame. Properly, a slanderer, a false accuser who unjustly criticizes to hurt. Unjustly does what? Criticizes to hurt and condemn, especially with a view to sever a relationship. Diabolos is the root of the word, English word devil. In ancient secular Greek means backbiter, that is an accuser, a calumniator, slanderer. Alright? Means to cast through, make charges to bring someone down, to destroy them. Satan is used by God to do this. Not used by God to do this, but Satan is used to do this. That is, as the devil acts as a kind of predictable wind-up toy, playing out his evil nature. In Psalms 101, verse 5, whoso properly slandereth his neighbor, him will I. This is the word of God. God said, when you slander your neighbor, I will cut you off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. In other words, God will not contend, will not deal with them. All right? So now that's truth breakers, false accusers, and without natural affection. Next we have incontinent. All right? And that Greek word is akrates. And that's derived from, once again, we know A means without or not, and kratos, prevailing power. So, promptly incompetent is lacking self-control, self-discipline, self-restraint, reveal a lack of self-mastery. These are all indicators of what? The last times. Amen. And we went over in the previous verse, it talked about how men will be lovers of themselves. Never in life have you seen so many people that just all about them. In the ironic confusion of a self-determined life, which is the sin that drives all sin, this always goes beyond proper Amen. That's what incontinent means. Lacking self-control, lacking power. And Proverbs said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. That's incontinent. He just don't have no self-control. Romans 6, 12 through 13 and verse 16. Let not sin therefore do what? Reign. Reign, it means he like a king reign, he sits on the throne. Don't let sin be the throne of your life. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of Lord, thank God for righteousness. Righteousness is doing what's right in the sight of God. Righteousness unto God. Verse 16 said, know ye not that they to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. These are all signs of what? The last days. Fierce. Nemeros is the negative of hameros, meaning tame. However, a wild animal, not tame, is not a nemeros because the animal's actions are not moral choices. Human beings created in God's image are intended to make moral decisions based on the wisdom.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, if you feel tongue, you work on that tongue.
right? Because that's not how God treats us. Despisers of those that are good. A philagathos, derived a means, not or without, and philagathos, a friend, lover of what is good. Properly describing someone as a hater of good, hostile to the things of God, an active opponent, enemy of God's kingdom or what is good. A philagathos refers to someone born of personal affection about what pleases God. I wonder how many of us, before we do things, check ourselves out and say, wait a minute, is God going to be pleased in this? I don't care if you're dealing with the church, if you're dealing with the world, whatever you're doing, whatever we do, we should always do it to honor and glorify God. Why? The Bible says, let your light so shine before what? Men, so they may see your good works and do what? Glorify. So before you do it, say, wait a minute, is it going to bring God glory or shame? Before I say this, is this going to bring God glory or shame? Before I act this out, what is it going to bring to God? Amen? This kind of person outwardly pretends to love what is good or godly, but inwardly is an arrogant blasphemer. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He therefore that despises not man. He that what? Despises not man but God, who hath also given unto us of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I get a lot of work. I want y'all to use these scriptures because they apply. Because a lot, this is, we're trying to show the difference between being truly awake or being asleep. Are you awake or are you asleep? These are characteristics of those that are asleep because they're not living the truth. They're not living honestly. They're not living sincere. They're not making a true assessment of who they are and how they act. They're just going through the motions. Can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Number 4 says they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. So he starts off with first, they love themselves, and he finishes with lovers of pleasure. Amen? Traitors, prodotes, a betrayer. Probably, as it has been suggested of their Christian brethren, Luke 6:16 says, well, the epithet is used of who? Judas Iscariot, which also was the betrayer. That's Luke 6:16. Anyone who betrays, whether it be a friend or his country, treason has been in all ages regarded as one of the worst crimes that man can commit. All right? Then we're going to go to Hetty. Hetty, better rendered, headstrong in words or thoughts or action. Thank God we don't have anybody that's like that. Y'all can say amen. Yeah. Headstrong. Jesus. Right? You know you're wrong and you just cannot convince them that they're wrong. Headstrong. Just in words, thoughts, or action. It probably means falling forward, prone, inclined, ready to do anything, then precipitate headlong or rash. In other words, you're headed, you're just going to do what I want to do. You ever meet people that thank God not in here? You ever meet somebody that drags with their mouth? Thank God y'all did. You always say amen, especially that. Rash with their mouth, they spit it out before they say, before they think about it. The tongue is a what kind of poison? Deadly poison. So we have to learn to have self-control. We have to have temperance. We can't just spit it out. Let me tell you, when you put something out, you can't take it back. Right? When you put something out, you cannot take it back. So keep it in before you put it out. Then you don't have to go and apologize for what you just spit out. Amen?
Praise the Lord. I'm not putting anybody here on the spot because there's nobody here that I'm talking about, but I just got a call today. Someone that has been disheartened because someone put something out of their mouth that was rash and they were petty and high-minded. They did not consider God, and it affects other people in their walk with God. A lot of people, it takes a lot for them to come to church, because a lot of people have found hurt in church. They've been hurt by their experiences in church. And then if we turn around and we don't consider all of these things that he's talking about, I'm really glad we're going over this. Like I said, I'm pointing at, or none of you am I sitting here saying that you said anything to anybody, but someone did. Okay, they're not here right now, but someone did. And we have to really consider before we talk. We really need to think before we let it come out of our mouth, because even when we think that we've got it all together and how we're saying it, the other person might not be receiving it the way that you're saying it, and maybe we need to weigh it against the three things that I've always been told. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Some things might be true, but are they kind? And are they necessary? Some things you might feel are kind, but are they true in the context in how you're saying them? And we need to get guidance, and that's the thing, you know, that a lot of us need to just go to God and say, should I? I try to weigh myself against a principle that I put on myself. I call it my take 10 experience. I'll even tell my husband, I'm going to take 10 before I even handle this. Sometimes I don't.
Oh, God, remember that, take 10?
Take 10.
Oh, I got to get that card made.
It doesn't apply for you, sir. But no, you know, and this person is struggling. It took them a lot to come.
Yes, that's true.
And I'm trying to encourage them to continue to come in spite of. So we really need to consider what we say to people, because they're not receiving it how we think we're saying it.
Amen. You know, the thing is this. We got, you know, when somebody has been out of church a long time, right? That has to be a reason for them not to be in church. So actually, give them this. It has to be a reason for them not to be in church, right? So what I'm saying is this: if you have an issue, at least come talk to us, because we know more about people than you know. Because now we're trying to fix a situation that someone that just started coming to church because somebody was too rash with their mouth. You know, and why wound someone that's just been recovering? Right? That's what you call too self-centered. That, you know, your universe, you gotta get out of your universe and listen, think about others. Compassion is about thinking about others. Yes, Mr. Simon.
Over the last week and a half or so, God has dealt with me concerning this one scripture. And we know it means a certain thing, but the scripture, and it's along with what you were just talking about. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
right,
the second part, nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Right.
And when we put ourselves out there in such a way where we offend with our tongue, where we can't hold it, where we feel we just have to say something to somebody, and maybe it's, you know, a new saint or someone who God is dealing with concerning, at that point, when we have to get it out, we're standing in the way of sin. We're putting ourselves in the way for, you know, just because we can't hold our tongue.
That's true.
You know, and I, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, God has dealt with me concerning that scripture. And that is a manner of standing in the way of sin. We put ourselves in the way of God because we just have to say something.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, containing our tongue.
Amen. Exactly true. So we have to be so careful in those areas. Now remember this. It probably won't take us to hell, but if you drive somebody out of church, you got to give an account for that. Right? Because the Bible says we have to give an account for the things that we do. So when your mouth chase somebody out of church, their blood, if they're not saved, God's going to require at your hands. That should make us do some inward thinking before we go. All right, so now let's go to Ecclesiastes. This is why someone says, be not what? Be not, I'm waiting till y'all find it so we can all say it together. Y'all find that?
Yes.
Did everybody say, be not what? Rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything. Listen, everything you say, you're doing it before who? And I like what Bishop G.T. Haywood says. He said, you know, all of God's children have the Holy Ghost in them. So when you speak evil against your brother, you also speak evil against the Holy Ghost. When you pour out all that poison, not here, but for wherever it's going. When you pour out all that poison, you're not just pouring it out to that individual, but you're speaking to the Spirit of God that's in them. Amen. So that should make you want to do a gut check. Before I spit it out, because when I spit out to you, I'm attacking God. Amen. So be not rash with thy mouth and hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, alright, can y'all find that one spot? Y'all see that? Therefore, then, be feeble. High minded. Ouch. What is high? We just went over heady, now we're going over high minded. Yes, it's a difference. Heady is just you just sit on doing you. Yeah, I know the new people say, I'm going to do me. You better not do you. That ain't God. You better want to do God. You do you, and I'm going to do me. Ouch. Look at somebody say, that ain't God. We're supposed to be all about God. We're Christians. Christians be what like? Christ-like. So when you do you, that ain't God. That's not Christ. So we already went over here, amen. High-minded, better translated, blinded by pride. All right? Compare Timothy 1:3-6. Not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, you fall into. Ouch. You mean time you get in pride, you fall into what? Condemnation of the devil. When you're pride, when you're lifted up in pride, you become under the devil's control. In other words, y'all ever see a puppet? Y'all ever see a puppeteer, brother? Yes. It was a puppet. Well, when you fall like this, the devil is pulling all your strings because you're under his control. Amen. So you don't want to be full of pride. A person that's full of pride, this is how a person full of pride is. They know they're wrong, they're back up in the corner, they want to admit they're wrong. Because old Slewfoot is pulling all the strings, and you can't react properly. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in. So when you're high-minded, you just don't trust God. And we're trying to identify the spirit of those that are need to awake out of what? Sleep. Well, why am I asleep? Because you're not doing the things that are pleasing to God. You're not doing the things that honor God, who give us richly all things to enjoy. Love is our pleasures more than anything that you put before God is a problem. That is of sensual pleasures. Sensual gratification is their God. Remember we read in Romans 6, whosoever you yield yourself self-service to obey, that is your master. Whoever you yield yourself service to obey, that is your master. So if you yield to lust, then what becomes your master? The Bible James says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust. And then lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let no man say when he is tempted, he is tempted of God, because God tempted no man. Amen. So we don't want to be in that form. All right. Where am I at? Philippians 3:18-19. For many walk, now listen to this. We're talking about lovers of pleasures, those that are caught up in themselves. Listen to this. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now I tell you even, this is such a bad situation Paul was I told you before, now he's weeping. He's so broken for their soul salvation. He said, I tell you, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We talk about those that are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Another indication that you are asleep is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Form of godliness is a Greek word, morphosin. A verb made into a noun. What is a form of godliness? This is something we better be absolutely clear about. Paul is adamant. Have nothing to do with these people. Avoid them, he says. So if they have a form of godliness, Paul said, don't have nothing to do with it. If they're just going through the motion of being godly, if they're just going through the motion of being saved and being in church, God says, Paul said, he tells them, he said, don't have anything to what? To do with them. All right? Avoid them, he says. That implies that we know who they are. Amen. You got to know who people are. Know who they are. We have to know exactly what is a form of godliness in order to identify the people Paul has in mind. Form of godliness does all of the outward religious actions without a repentant heart. So a whole lot of people have came to church, got saved, but they have never repented. So if you get saved and you don't repent, you're the same person. You don't repent, not repentant. If you come, you get baptized and you don't repent, you're still the same. Because the first thing you have to do is repent. And then get baptized for the remission of sin. So a lot of people got baptized, but they never repented. So they never have purpose in their heart. I'm wrong and I need to change. So all they're doing is going through the motions of being saved. I don't care how much they come to church, if they haven't repented in their heart, because when you repent in your heart, those things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The way I used to talk, I don't. The way I used to look, I don't. The way I used to dress, I don't dress anymore because I have. People might mess with their dress up too much. But it's true. If you're going to change, how can you change on this side of the cross? Then when I look back on the other side of the cross, I still see myself. Y'all with me? Well, it ain't, that's all. No, no. What does God say? You know, I ain't gonna mess with that one. I could mess with it, but I ain't gonna mess with it. No, I ain't gonna mess with it. Let's stay on the course. If I mess with that, I'm gonna go, shh. I always mess with it. Because the form of godliness doesn't do any good if it's not a repentant heart. Let me use myself as an example. I used to be an athlete years ago. I used to be close to the minister's side years ago. Right? How about you say? No, he's weird. Before you got saved, when you were an athlete, because people came to the athletes can't carry themselves in a certain way. Right. Athletes like want to show what they were as an athlete. Right. So as an athlete, when we grew up, coming up as an athlete, we wanted something to show all of our six packs, all of our muscles, everything that we had that was muscular, we wanted to show it. Because that's athletes. Right? Now, if I get saved and I still want to show everything I had before I got saved, I'm using myself as an example. I did not repent because I'm acting the same way on this side that I acted on that side. Are you with me? Now I'm using myself. Now women, you put your own self on display. Right? Because we are not supposed to be an advertisement. Y'all with me? You're not supposed to be an advertisement to incite or to increase lust. a female walked through the door, and every eye in the room shifted. I was like, what just happened? Then I looked. Somebody was a billboard. Right? So as a man, when I walk in a place, if they don't see me, the God in me, I've already lost it. Are y'all with me? So if a woman walks in a place and they don't see the God in you, and they see all that God has blessed you to have, that ain't God. Right? So I don't want to go off too much. But if you go to Genesis, y'all took me. Y'all made me go here. But if you go to Genesis, the 35th chapter, now I'm not going to go there because we don't have time. Go to Genesis, the 35th chapter. After Jacob's sons had tricked the men of Shechem and got them to circumcise themselves, then when they killed all the males, Jacob said, wait, God's wrath is against me. So you know what Jacob did? He said, bring me all your jewelry. He said, you know what? Because this is what they were used as idols. Now, all up to this, Jacob knew it. But when he knew he was in trouble, he said, I got to get God's favor. Right? So he said, bring me all of your idols, your jewelry that you use as an idol, and he hid them under a tree. He said, now go change your clothes, because we got to present ourselves before God. So he said, in other words, you can't present yourself before God with the same thing that you use in the world. All right. Yeah. So, well, how do you know that? Just go read Genesis, the 35th chapter. So they had to change themselves to present themselves before God. Say, so come to church just as you are. Yeah, before you get no better, yes. But when you get saved and no better, you're supposed to present God with your best. Well, I don't think so. You ain't repent. Because you can't be the same on this side as you are on the other side. All right. Since we ain't getting a lot of amen, let's keep going. Amen? But we live in a bad world. I mean, we're living in a seriously evil world. Anytime grown men can be enticed with lust with little girls, 12, 13, 11 years old, and kill them and rape them, we live in a bad world. Right? So instead of tightening it up, we need to loosen it up. Y'all with me? Right? Men, don't show everything God bless you to have. Women, don't show everything God bless you to have. Because the Bible says in simplicity, we're not supposed to reveal our nakedness. Anytime people can discern your whole physique with what you have on, wrong. Because the Bible talks about modesty. If you go to modesty in the New Testament, it means loose and flowing. That's what modesty means, loose and flowing in the Greek. Well, this wasn't in the Bible class. Y'all got me off track. Right. So what I'm saying is, before I leave out of the house, what I don't make myself change, my wife may change. Seriously. But I look at stuff, I'm kind of conscientious, right? Before I lost weight, I used some clothes I couldn't wear because when I wore it, it didn't jive. In the word of the Lord, it wasn't loose and flowing. So I would change shirts two or three times sometimes because stuff just wasn't it ought to be, right? Because I saw myself. So guess what? If we inspect ourselves, women, it's more for you all, because when you walk in, if everybody's looking at you walking, then that's what? Now you got some perverts, this ain't gonna help them. And perverts are perverts, they just gonna create stuff. But I'm saying when you walk in and it's just, you can't even get a scapula between. Seriously. That's not God. You can't dress like that and think you're gonna honor God. Because the whole time you're in church, instead of the men that are struggling seeing God, they're watching you. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? So you said, I don't understand what's wrong with them. You Amen. It's kind of bad. You be talking. Sometimes you be talking to people. They be doing like this the whole time. You know why you pull it down? Because you shouldn't have it on. Are they doing this the whole time? All right. Let's go. I'm just saying. We need to be godly. How many want to be godly? If you want to be godly, you have to be godly all the way through. You can't just have a form of godliness. Amen. So Paul said, you have to be clear about those that are not godly. They have a form of godly. That implies that we know who they are. We have to know exactly what this word describes, not just the end product, but also the process of shaping and forming something. It is not just false theology. It's false application, false action. In fact, they can have the theology correct, but the actions are what? They are Christian in name, baptized into the Christian faith, and make a show of religion, but it's only in with no. Well, Isaiah says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their. You're in error. Transgression means you're in error. Show them that they're in error. Transgression means to go against God or His Word. Show my people when they are going against God and His Word and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me. Wait a minute. How do you be in transgression and seek God? To seek God and go against God, and you like to know my ways as a nation that you're acting righteous, did righteous, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching. They go through all the motions. Approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest. God, I'm doing this. He said, because you know what? Because you're not doing it with the right motives. You don't have the right spirit. Amen. You act like you're doing it for me. God said, but you're not doing it for me. You're just doing it to appease your own self and conscience because there's no internal change. There's no repentance. There's no heart that's filling after God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact your. He said, you know what? You're fast, and you're doing all that for your own pleasure. You're not doing it for me. Going, this is how a form of what? Confidence. I come to church every Sunday. I'm always in church, but there's no repentance in the heart. God said, well, you're not doing it for me. You can't act like you delight to approach me when you're going contrary to my word. You're in transgression. So God said, if you're going to approach me, how many know in order for us to go before God, we have to approach God the right way. You can't approach God any kind of way. That's why I remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they communed with God on a regular basis. When they sinned, God said, you can't commune with me anymore. You cannot approach me like you used to be because you're now in sin. So God had to separate them, right? Because he couldn't approach him. Are you all with me? Yes. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they what? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of them. They profess they know God, but in
works.
But in works, they deny him being abominable. Disobedient and to every good word reprobate, denying, already obeyed, has a big umbrella. It covers deny, refute, refuse, reject, decline, and give up. Arineome simply means to say no. Jesus issued a very stern warning to those who deny him. In Matthew 10:33, he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my to deny the Didymus. You don't need God's enabling power. You don't need God's grace. Amen. Means empowered with God's ability to do as he directs. Didymus is divine power, focusing on God's potential power, our stored power, which is activated in the believer who receives through obedience his birth word, which is divine persuasion. Accordingly, Didymus, power through God's ability, is directly connected to living in faith. Ephesians 1:19 said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to what? Believe according to the working of his mighty power. And Ephesians 3:20 said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's why we keep stopping, but that's not where the verse ends. According to the what?
Power.
Well, how can the power work in you if you deny it? Does that even make sense? I can do exceeding abundantly above all I ask according to the power that works in me. But you're not letting God's power work in you, so how can you do exceeding abundantly above all? Amen. He said, from such, turn away, avoid, shun, have no contact with them as if they were not Christians, should be. Show no fellowship to their religion. Do not associate with them. Paul tells us to separate ourselves from anyone who is unclean or who does not hold the true doctrine. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial, which is the devil or evil one? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel and unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the Holy Ghost is in us. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be. God said, you got to come out from them. You got to turn away from those that are just going through the motion. Amen. Just because they're dressed apart, if they're not a repentant heart, they have not changed. All right? Say to the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In 1 John 10:11-12, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him. Listen, if they don't come in the truth, receive them not into your. But I'm supposed to show fellowship, not with an unbeliever. I'm not saying everybody is evil. I'm saying people that act like they're in the truth, but they're not in it. Don't even receive them into your house. Neither bid them Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed. Now we're talking about those that you know they just got a bad reputation. You know, they just all messed up. Say, don't receive them in your house, because when you do, you become a partaker of their evil deed. From these verses, we got our main subject, and that is, do you know what, understand what time it is? Amen. That's good enough for tonight. Do you know what time it is? It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Now, I know we went all over the place, but the thing is, we're trying to identify the characteristic of those who are asleep. Amen. I don't want to be asleep with all that God has done for me. I want to show God I want to be counted worthy. We'll never be worthy, but when we do our best, God said, listen, even though you messed up, you always made it right. I'm going to count you worthy to escape the wrath to come. Amen. The Bible said, in Jude, it didn't say we're just going to come up flawless before God. He's going to do what? Present us flawless. You know what that means? It means you still got faults, but you did everything to the best of your ability to make it right. So God said, even though you have faults, as long as we're in the flesh, every last one of us got faults. I don't care how chief and holy and mighty you are, you still got faults. I still got faults. So God said, but because you did your best, you gave all that you had. He said, I understand that you didn't have the integrity of heart. So I'm going to present you faultless because you're not faultless. Amen. And that should be our heart's desire tonight. Lord, help me to do the best that I can. So in the end, you can present me faultless. But if I know I got a whole lot of issues, I have stuff to work on. Amen. Because if you don't work on those issues, the devil will just rock you to sleep. You just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And then you ask, why can't I change? The reason you can't change because you didn't change in your heart. Right? Once you change, change does not come from the outside in, as many people think. They think because they dress holy, that makes them holy. That don't make you holy. What makes you holy is an inward man. Jesus said, only the what? Pure in heart shall see God. So it says, they confess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Tonight, we should all make a self-examination. I do it all the time. Amen. Actually, when we went to Georgia, they gave us a bad card from a car dealership. I won't put them there because they see, oh, I hear this. You might want to send us a donation on this. Yes, CEO. They gave us a bad car. They definitely gave us a bad car. I had to drive $100 all the way to exchange the car. Then when I got back to Albany, they changed me for the exchange. And when I went to down in, Allentown. I had to go all the way from down past, down near Hattiesburg, all the way back up to Allentown and then back down. And the salesperson said, you make sure they give you a discount for this because they should never let this car go out. Like it was. Alright, so when I got that, they charged me more. So, you know, they charge you more. Sometimes you get a little besides yourself. You want to get besides yourself? Somebody charge you more. So, man, I was like, wait a minute. First of all, I was shooting at this car go out. And you charge me more on top of that. And the Holy Ghost said, you're not glorified. I'm telling you the truth. I said, yeah. So I said, well, whatever you have to do with it. You know, because you can't act ungodly over just because of money. Right? So I'm telling myself. This was only 2 weeks ago, right? Beginning of October. Right? But I'm saying, you can't allow your testimony to go over whether it's business or finances or whatever, you can't lose your testimony over that. Right? So then I tried to turn around and ask some dog there, and I was kind of mad at first. They charged me extra. Should have gave me that car for free. You know, that's what I'm going to say. Right? But in my mind, as I was talking, you know, sometimes God will give you a flashback, so you see, not a flashback, but a flash of yourself. Say, wait a minute, they don't come to church. Say, wait a minute, I won't never come back to this church because you will upset over a car. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes we allow situations to get the best of us. When I saw they charged me extra money, I couldn't wait to get back there. I should have just said, Lord, I should have said, listen, Lord, you fix this the best way you can. If you don't fix it, you know what? God will take care of it. This is why I concluded after. I was a little rational. Right? But I'm saying, I'm telling myself, God say, you know what? My wife will always get messed up in those areas. But I hate for people to cheat me. I just hate to be cheated. Well, that's one of those things I gotta conquer. Alright? Because I can't allow that to make me lose my testimony. You all with me?
Amen.
From spectrum to all of them. I didn't get all of them. Spread the whole group up. So I just say, you know, as a matter of fact, I had can't be paying back and all our money back. I don't care what you do. Just come get it all. He said, you understand? I said, come get it all. I don't care what you do. Give me every dime that I paid for the last 2 months back. Well, I can't do that. Give me your supervisor. They will do that. And I said, this is going way too far with money. I said, you know what? What do you suggest? I'm telling myself, I got to conquer that. Right? Because those are infirmities, yes.
And it's good that you're saying that, because a lot of times when we talk about truthfulness, mainly it's to ourselves. If we can do, we always say, the man's desire for a divine inspection, we say, search me, O God, know my heart, try me. And then when he tries us, and he shows us ourselves, and we look at it, and we walk away thinking that we were okay, the problem is that we're not truthful to ourselves first. We won't admit that is an area I really need to come up in. And in doing that, if we're really honest with ourselves and we're truthful, God will take us to a higher height. When we can examine ourselves and say, yes, that's an area I really need to work on, I want you, Lord, to help me fix it. Because a couple of weeks in a row, I've been walking around saying, Lord, this is bigger than me. I need your help with this one. And I can see myself getting to a point where, you know, I'm not quite as bad as him.
I
would be inwardly, then I would come to myself and I'd be fuming, and I'm like, God, you've got to help me through this, because this one's bigger than me. And I know that if I act upon it, sometimes I have, but there's not a problem with acting upon it, because God already knows what you're going to do. The problem is not fixing what you act upon.
Yes.
Not being able to look at what you just did and examine yourself. And, you know, the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He's identifying the fact that you're going to have wrath. But don't let the sun go down without you getting it right. And that's the problem, you know, that I would say we as Christians, we need to work on that scripture, not allowing the sun to go down on our wrath without trying to get it right, because we're not perfect. We will have mistakes. We will make mistakes. But to look at ourselves and be honest and say, yes, I really messed up. Like Pastor said, I messed up on this one. You know, but he gives us new mercies every morning. But we need to ask for those mercies. That's amen? Right.
Listen, all of us have something that will send us over the deep edge.
Yes.
All of us have something that will send us over the deep edge. Until you conquer that, you're going to keep getting that test. Right? I keep getting that test. I'm going to work on it. I said, well, and you know what, man, bothered me so much when that day bothered me for a couple of days. Like I kept saying, how could I have handled that better? Because I knew I didn't handle it right. And I'm telling myself, right? Because I said, it was like $30. I don't care if it's 30 cents. But the money was the principle. And still, it was a dollar. Right? So what I said, you know what? In the future, when something like that happens, I'm going to say, listen, this is what happened. How do you choose to resolve it? If they don't resolve it,